Good morning, and welcome everyone to the presentation and discussion of the second quarter of 2016. With me here today, I have our CFO, Anna Ohlsson-Leijon, and our Head of IR, Catarina Ihre. Let's begin and turn to our presentation. Performance improved across most business areas during the second quarter, with portfolio and price promotion management contributing positively. Our operating income increased to 1,564 million SEK, and four of our six business areas achieved an operating income above our 6% EBIT target. In Europe, we continue to show good organic growth and gain market share. The market trend in most European markets was positive. In North America, product cost and operational efficiency gains, combined with positive contribution from raw materials and effective price promotion management, were the most important factors for the significant improvement. In Latin America, the Brazilian market continued to decline, which in combination with a weakening trend in Argentina and Chile, affected our top line and earnings negatively. Currencies continued to have a negative impact on earnings. However, this was to some part mitigated by price and mix. All in all, earnings improved in all business areas versus last year, except for Latin America. Let's look into some of our market activities during the quarter. These highlights demonstrate our strategic initiatives that will drive growth in our markets. I would like to start with the new Electrolux Laundry Collection that won the Best in Show awards at the KBIS launch in North America. This launch adds to the momentum of our core branded business. The collection comprised a first-of-its-kind Electrolux washer with a SmartBoost technology that improves cleaning performance while keeping colors vibrant for longer. It's an all-digital campaign where we partner with fashion and style bloggers to highlight the innovation. It covers our 360-degree consumer journey concept. In the quarter, Electrolux also launched the world's most silent vacuum cleaner, the Ultra Silencer Zen. The product is specially designed for our key strategic markets in Europe and our high-growth markets in Asia. The Zen is made from 55% recycled plastic, silent, and combines features to save energy and cleans with impeccable results. Finishing with our recent acquisition in Australia of Vintec. In June, we announced an agreement to acquire the leading wine cabinet company in Asia Pacific. Through the acquisition, we're strengthening our position in the region and create synergies with the company's core business. Vintec is expected to be consolidated in the third quarter of 2016. Let's turn slide. Let's look at our sales development in local currencies. In the second quarter, we had a slight slowdown in the organic growth, which was down 0.9%. This is due to our focus on profitability and portfolio management activities in certain products and regions, as well as volume decline in Latin America. There was a slight contribution from acquired growth in the quarter. Over the last couple of years, we have achieved a cumulative average growth rate of 3% in net sales. Let us now go through to the business areas and start with looking at the development in EMEA. Major Appliances EMEA continued to show positive sales growth in the second quarter, achieving an organic growth of 5.2%. This was driven by positive volume and improved mix. Demand for appliances continued to increase in most Western European countries, and demand in Eastern Europe was also good in the quarter. Electrolux sales volumes grew in most European markets, and we continued to gain market share. Product mix improved due to the strategic focus on premium branded products in built-in kitchen and laundry. Prices continued to be under pressure in Europe, but we compensated for this by better mix and efficiency gains. Operating income increased versus previous year, and our EBIT margin reached 6.4%, surpassing 6.5% in the past 12-month period. Higher sales volumes, improved mix, and benefits from cost efficiency and raw materials all contributed positively to earnings. Let's turn page and talk about the market development in Europe. The European market continued to be positive in the second quarter. Total unit shipments increased by 4.4%, including Russia and Ukraine. Demand in Western Europe increased by 4.5% and has now increased for 10 consecutive quarters. Growth was particularly strong in the Nordics, U.K., Germany, Benelux, and the Iberian countries. Following the Brexit referendum, the outlook for demand in the U.K. is, however, uncertain. Demand in Eastern Europe was up by 4%. Most markets in the region showed positive growth. We expect the European market to continue to grow in 2016 and therefore increase our outlook to 2%-4% growth for the year from 2%-3%, reflecting the good trend, but also an increased uncertainty in the U.K. Our operations in North America continued to show progress in the second quarter. In the quarter, the North American market grew by 3%, and as previously indicated, we continued to see some price pressure in the U.S. market. Electrolux remained disciplined in our price and promotion management, which impacted organic growth slightly. However, sales grew in our branded business while declining somewhat in private labels. As previously communicated, we are making progress in efficiency in the cooking plant in Memphis. This work will continue into the second half of 2016. Earnings in North America were strong compared to last year and sequentially, achieving an operating margin of 6.5%. The higher profitability was a result of solid price promotion management and our focus on product cost and efficiency gain. Raw material savings also contributed positively. Let's turn to the next slide and talk about the market development in North America. Market demand for core appliances in North America moderated somewhat in the second quarter, as anticipated, and increased by 3.4% in the quarter. With good first half growth, the market for appliances in North America remains healthy, and we continue to see consumer confidence and the macro environment to be favorable for the appliance industry. We expect the full year market growth in North America to remain solid and grow in the range of 4 to 5%. Let's move to Latin America. Market demand for appliances in the region deteriorated in the quarter, and the macroeconomic outlook continues to be weak. The challenging market conditions affected our sales negatively in the second quarter. Volumes in Brazil, Argentina, and Chile all declined, while demand in other Latin American countries were mixed. To compensate for the weak markets, our team has taken actions to reduce costs. In the quarter, we implemented price increases to compensate for currency headwinds and inflation. And the measures in combination with cost reduction activities have to a large extent compensated for the negative currency, but not fully the sharp fall in volume and mix, particularly in Argentina and Chile. We expect the Latin American market to remain weak also in the second half of 2016. Let's turn slide and talk about our operations in Asia Pacific. Market demand in all three sub-regions in Asia Pacific is estimated to have been positive in the second quarter. In Southeast Asia, growth was strong in Vietnam, Thailand, Singapore, but it was weak in Malaysia. Our sales in Australia, New Zealand, and Southeast Asia continue to show positive development. New product launches and better product mix contributed positively. Sales in China declined in the quarter as a result of proactively reduced business activity in unprofitable segments and channels. Earnings in Asia Pacific increased year over year, and margins reached 6% in the second quarter and in the last 12 months. Both Australia and Southeast Asia performed well and contributed positively. The operational repositioning in China is on track, and we have continued to cut costs. The transition to the new factory in Rayong, Thailand is also successfully completed now. Going forward, we will continue to launch new products and support premium brands that will drive profitable growth in our key markets in the region. Let's continue with small appliances. Market demand for our small appliances in North America and Latin America declined in the second quarter. Our volumes in Western Europe, however, continued to increase. Premium products within floor care improved the mix in the region. Total sales was negative due to the exit from certain product categories and markets, particularly in North America and China. The small appliances business continued to be exposed to currency headwinds in the quarter, which impacted the EBIT negatively. In these market conditions, we have taken price actions to offset parts of the negative impact. We are refocusing our business on profitable categories through active product portfolio management, and our cost reduction program is in progress. Now let's turn to our professional business. Professional products continued to show good performance in Q2 and benefited from positive growth in its key markets. Sales growth was positive in Western Europe and North America, while the trend in emerging markets was soft. During the quarter, we increased our investments to support profitable growth in new segments and markets. Our professional business achieved an EBIT margin of 13%. And now, I would like Anna to dive into the numbers and go through our financials and our cash flow in the second quarter. Please, Anna.
Thank you, Jonas. Okay, let's start with the financial overview. Organic sales was down 0.9% in the quarter, mainly due to lower volumes in Latin America and the repositioning in small appliances in combination with lower private label sales in North America. Acquired growth was 0.1% positive due to contribution from our acquisition of Veetsan last year. The currency impact was -3.6%, and this resulted in reported sales of -4.4%. Total gross operating income, which is defined as net sales minus cost of goods sold, was up 8% versus Q2 last year, which translated into an improved gross margin by almost 3 percentage points, up from 18.7% last year to 21.2% this year. Earnings were significantly up compared to last year, driven by continued good performance in our two largest business areas, EMEA and North America, as well as in Professional. Earnings also increased within Small Appliances and Asia Pacific. Overall, the group benefited from volume, price mix, and cost improvements. As a result, our EBIT margin increased to 5.2%. Cash flow was strong in the quarter and increased by 38% to 4.1 billion SEK. Cash flow in the second quarter is normally strong and reflects the seasonal pattern. Home comfort, including air conditioners, contributed positively. Reported earnings per share was 3.75 SEK for the quarter. Let's move to the sales and earnings bridge on the next slide. Let's start with the organic growth number, which comprises of price mix and volume. If you first look at the organic volume in the bridge, it contributed with 176 million SEK to operating income. Price mix was the main part and contributed positively on the EBIT level, thanks to product portfolio and price promotion management. The volume part was also positive, although it was impacted by volume decline in Latin America and the repositioning of operations in Small Appliances. The organic total, as you can see, was short of the total negative currency effect of 478 million SEK, mainly related to Latin America. Moving to the net cost efficiency, this shows the net impact from product cost improvements of, in total, 761 million. This included cost savings from raw materials, which was about 250 million in the quarter, and the impact of other productivity work and efficiencies throughout the group. In total, we had a margin accretion of 0.6% from the organic part and a 2.5 percentage point in contribution from cost efficiencies. This means the underlying leverage in the business continued to be good. The 182 million in the other column reflects the positive delta from the GE cost taken in the EBIT in Q2 2015. Let's go to the cash flow and move side. Cash flow in the second quarter amounted to 4.1 billion SEK, which is strong compared to historic levels. Our EBIT number is up strongly year-over-year, which generated a positive contribution from operations of about 1.5 billion SEK, which is approximately 600 million SEK higher than in Q2 2015. Our net operating working capital, measured as inventories, trade receivables, and accounts payable on a 12-month rolling basis, is now below 6% of net sales. The CapEx level was lower, but the run rate is not decreasing. This is just a quarterly timing issue. The cap on CapEx will continue to be around 4 billion. The strong cash conversion rate in 2014 and 2015 leaves us with a strong balance sheet, which means that we have the funds and the firepower to continue with our investments, as well as look at further acquisitions. Finally, let's take a longer perspective on the cash flow. Here you can see that the Q2 cash flow is always the strongest quarter in the year, followed by a third quarter, which is historically always lower. Back to you, Jonas, for the summary and conclusions.
Thank you, Anna. Let's move on and summarize the presentation with the outlook for Q3 and full year 2016. Looking ahead into the third quarter and the full year, we believe consumer demand will continue to drive growth in the appliance industry. We expect the positive growth trend in Western Europe to continue in most markets, but with the Brexit uncertainty. In Eastern Europe, we have seen Russia stabilizing and expect the region as a whole to show growth going forward. We anticipate demand in North America to remain positive in 2016, supported by a solid macroeconomic environment and good consumer confidence. Latin America continues to be weak with low visibility. We expect demand in Brazil, Argentina, and Chile to deteriorate further before it stabilizes. Demand in East Asia shows a mixed pattern with an overall positive outlook. Australia has shown positive growth for several quarters now, but we estimate the market to turn flat to slightly negative going forward. Now to our business outlook. In terms of the organic part, volume price mix, we expect a slight positive net impact in EMEA and Asia Pacific in the next quarter. In North America, we're likely to see some price pressure in the growing market. Part of this is increased holiday promotion activities. We expect to continue our work to increase efficiency and reduce structural costs. This will further strengthen and benefit our operations going forward. We expect raw material costs to have a positive net impact in the third quarter and for the full year. Spot prices on commodities have risen in 2016, and if the current price levels remain during the rest of the year, this positive effect will gradually fade away into next year. Due to recent fluctuations in the currency markets and with the strengthening of the Brazilian real, we currently see a less negative impact from currencies in 2016 than we communicated in connection with our Q1 results. At current rates, we expect a transactional effect of minus 125 million for Q3 and minus 1.1 billion for the full year. Our CapEx outlook remains stable in the range of 4 billion SEK. With that, I'd like to pass it to Katarina to open up for Q&A.
Yes, good morning, everyone. So we're now ready to take your questions. So please, operator, go ahead for the first question.
Our first question comes from Alana Andreas Willey from JP Morgan. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. I have a couple of questions, please. If I could start with the U.S. and the private label declines you've seen. Is this a conscious decision to manage risks, also maybe potentially related to some concerns around Sears? Maybe you could give us some more information on the background for this. Secondly, on the UK, you had a good quarter, but you say you've seen increased risks. What have you seen over the last three, 4 weeks in the market in terms of demand? And certainly just on pricing in Latin America, do you see continued sequential price improvements despite the easing of the currency?
Okay. Let's see if I can remember all those, but good questions. All right, so first of all, the private label. Of course, we are actively managing our product portfolio for profitability. However, the private label sales decline in the quarter was more, organically driven. When it comes to the UK risks, of course, we are impacted by the weaker British pound. The pound is 10% or so weaker versus the euro year over year. So that, of course, has an impact on us. To some extent directly, but of course more over time as hedges roll off and so on. In terms of demand, we have seen mainly the construction industry signaling that they will be more cautious going forward, and we do expect that to have an impact on demand. We are a major player in the UK construction industry. In terms of regular retail demand, we're not seeing as much of a negative impact at this stage. With Latin America, you're right, the currency has, let's say, sequentially strengthened. The Brazilian real has strengthened, and we do expect that it will be harder to get price increases through in the market. However, we still do need to get some more price also in the second half of the year. But the requirement will be less than what we originally had forecasted, which is a good thing because, of course, the underlying demand is very weak in the market, and it's very much a positive if we don't have to increase prices by as much.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. Could we have our next question, please?
Our next question comes from the line of Andre Kukhnin from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Andre, are you there?
Andre from Credit Suisse. If you are muted, please unmute yourself.
I think we can move on to the next question.
We'll let Andre come back.
Yes.
Our next question comes from Lucy Collier from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning, Jonas. Good morning, Anna and Katharina. A couple of questions follow-up from my side. The first one, you know, a follow-up on the UK. Can you maybe clarify what's the profitability level in the UK versus the rest of the European business, whether this is a more accretive or not accretive geography from a profitability standpoint? So that's question number one. The second question was also related to price mix. It seems to be weaker in this quarter compared to what we've seen over the previous quarter. So I just wanted to have a sense whether it's more difficult for you to kind of push those efforts you've done either on the mix or pushing the prices. And then finally was a question on capital allocation. I mean, your leverage now is becoming extremely low. You know, what is the plan with the cash you have now on hand?
Right. So good question. Thank you. So the UK profitability, we don't break out individual market profitabilities, But as of right now, all our markets in Europe are profitable, and the UK as well. And so it has been and is a good market for us, and we intend to of course protect that also going forward, despite the weaker currency development. But it is a profitable market for us. Price mix, it's a little bit of a mixed picture. We have more price pressure in North America, as indicated. We have very weak mix in Latin America, and I think this is important to note. This is not just volumes that are weakening, but also mix. So consumer demand is shifting towards lower priced products, and you know, price is partially offsetting that, but not fully. In Europe, I wouldn't say there. You know, the combination of price and mix is more or less following the pattern that we've seen in recent quarters. Capital allocation, we are not really no new statements there. Of course, we are very happy about the fantastic cash flow that we had in the quarter and that we've had really for the last 2.5 years now. And of course, the balance sheet is stronger than we need it to be. And I expect the board will make sure that we have a plan to have an appropriate balance sheet strength going forward, but not overcapitalized. And of course, that includes M&A and possible cash distribution.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lucy. Please, could we have our next question?
Our next question comes from Matthew Spurr from Royal Bank of Canada. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi there. Morning. Thanks for the opportunity to ask a question. I had a couple. I'll go one at a time if it's easier. So in North America, we've referenced your price pressure again in some segments. Can you give us any more detail on that? I think last quarter you said it was raw material driven and that you didn't want to emphasize it, but I would say you sort of raised it a bit more prominently this quarter and tie that into your comments on raw material impact starting to slow. I just wonder whether you had any further thoughts you could share on that.
Right. So I would say that if you perceive a change in tonality from what we said in Q1, that's unintended. We did indicate in Q1 that we saw increased promotional pressure connected to kind of the promotional holidays that we have in the U.S. We are seeing that, and that's continuing, not dramatic, but for sure more than last year, which is what we indicated at the Q1 release. So we are managing very carefully here to optimize our total gross margin. And this is really our focus, as we've been pretty clear about, that we are managing our business to improve our gross margin and our EBIT margin, our profitability. That is our absolute key priority in the quarter and also going forward. And hence, we're making some trade-offs in terms of to what extent we participate in the big promotional holidays in the U.S. in particular, but nothing new and nothing remarkably different there.
Okay,
I think we've actually managed that exceptionally well in the quarter. You know, as obviously evidenced by the very significant margin improvement that we've seen.
Okay, thanks. I had one on small appliances as well. The progress for Q1 sort of made good progress sort of sequentially and year on year with the restructuring benefits, and it seems to have the progress seems to have gone backwards a little bit in Q2. Is that just a function of lower volumes, or is there anything else that's sort of contributed to that?
No, I think we were pretty clear in Q1 that this was not the underlying trend. The improvement that we saw in Q1 was more, let's say, not one-off, but let's say not reflecting the underlying trend in small appliances. We still have a lot of work to do there in terms of portfolio management, in terms of cost reduction, to get back to profitability. What I would say, though, is that we are making very good progress on cost, particularly in Europe. We're developing very positively. Asia as well, outside of China, we're developing very positively. The big challenges that we have are the exit, let's say, or significant reduction in China, as well as in North America, where we're doing some significant repositioning and shrinking of the unprofitable parts of the business. And that is still a lot of work to do over the coming quarters on that.
Okay.
So nothing new there. It was more Q1 that was honestly better than expected.
Okay. And I had one final quick one on Europe, just on the market share gain comments. And it might be I could be accused of being a bit pedantic here, but if the market growth looks like it's around 5%, and you did organic of 5, and you had a positive, I mean, did you have a positive price mix, or was it just positive mix? But so I know one's volume and one's organic, but how do you sort of say that you've taken market share with that?
Yeah, and I guess to be pedantic back, we're saying that we're gaining market share in our branded products in built-in kitchen and laundry. That's what we're focusing on, and there we are gaining some substantial shares, and the piece that we're focusing less on in terms of market share is the freestanding kitchen business. But also overall, we're gaining a little bit of share, but not significant.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. And over one quarter, it's too short a period as well, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay. Sure.
Thank you. Before we move on to the next question, could I just please remind to take one question at a time, please? And with that, I would like to hand over to the next question.
Our next question comes from James Moore from Redburn. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, everyone. I'll take them one at a time, if that's what you mean. Raw material, you've talked about the impact for this year, which I guess is quite contracted, quite hedged. You're probably going to answer this by saying it's too early to give the raw material picture for next year. But just conceptually, given the big steel rises, can you help us think at all about the impact from raw material next year on the EBIT line? And really my question is more about your pricing appetite, given what happened to profits in 2009, last time we saw this sort of picture, was quite corrosive. But I sense the organization has a different ambition with respect to pricing. So would you put prices up in a market environment where they just aren't going up if that's what you need to do to pass it through?
Right. So obviously it's a good and fair question. And the reality is exactly as you said, it is too early to say where we will end up in terms of raw materials for next year, because it's been quite volatile, and actually recently a lot of the key raw materials have started to come down a bit compared to the peaks that we had in the spring. However, if we remain on the current levels, there will be a headwind next year. We have to put that together, though, with currency, because I think the key point here is to what extent do our input costs change? And, of course, currency and raw material are let's say, two big factors driving our input cost changes. And those impacts are, by and large, impacting the industry in similar orders of magnitude. And as you know, we've had positive tailwind from raw materials in the last year and a half or so. At the same time, we've faced very, very material headwinds on currency that are actually substantially bigger than the tailwinds we've had on raw material, and I think we've been able to manage through that quite well, through price, through mix, and through cost. And at current levels, I'm not particularly concerned about the combination of currency and raw materials being worse than what we've been able to handle over the last couple of years. At current levels, it would not be worse than what we've been handling quite effectively over the last few years. So, a long answer to a question, and of course we cannot give specifics at this stage because we just don't know. But it's not, we're not in a situation that I would call concerning with the combination of currency and raw material cost development.
That's very helpful. Can I follow up on Memphis? I mean, you mentioned it's stabilized, and one of the challenges from the outside is we know it was very negative in the first half of last year. So I'm trying to understand what the sort of sequential picture is, and really, I guess you won't want to put hard numbers on this, but how far are we away from a full tilt, full running rate, decent profit as to where you think is a credible target to get to?
Yeah, I think we're now at the stage where the, how should I say, the emergency measures are done. I think we can say that. It is not our most efficient factory. However, it is not a huge factory either. So I would say it's probably time to declare, let's say, the Memphis situation under control, and it will not be a major driver of our performance going forward unless something very unexpected happens. It's a relative, you know, size-wise, a manageable size of factory. It's not the most efficient one, and we still have work to do over the coming 6 months and even longer to get it to be a top, let's say, top performer. But I don't see it as a major drag for us going forward.
Sorry, just on that, I mean, if we go back, cooking was once, you know, virtually all of the core white profit. Is it that you think that it's just now structurally going to be lower because of the impact that we've seen from that move, or can we go back to where we were in the next few years?
Yeah, no, I think, as I mentioned, it's not one of our more efficient factories, so there is, a drag from that. However, I think the other drag is that we are, overall, our volumes are a little bit lower in cooking than they were at the peak, which is also impacting the overall profitability slightly negatively.
Thanks, Jonas.
Yeah.
Thank you. Should we move on to the next question, please, operator?
Next question comes from Martin Wilkie from Citi. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning. It's Martin from Citi. Just a question on the cost efficiency. You mentioned that the 761 includes some raw material, but even if we back that out, it still looks like the cost efficiencies were higher in the quarter. But obviously, you had some plans that have been in place for a few years, the manufacturing savings and so forth, which I guess have a bit of a sort of a run rate effect. And my understanding is that with those coming to an end, I just wanted to get some sort of sense as to whether we should expect those cost savings to actually to taper quite quickly as the benefits of those manufacturing cost savings sort of fall away. And I know that you're no longer detailing sort of big plans and so forth, but are there other things that are sort of backfilling for the end of those large restructuring plans? So
yeah, that's a good question. And the answer is yes. We have shifted our focus very much away from this long-running program, as you indicate, of moving factories to more, let's say, in factory efficiency improvements, very much driven by modularization, automation, and ongoing continuous improvement. So we do not expect a significant reduction in our cost efficiency performance going forward, but the nature of the source of that will shift more from restructuring to continuous improvement.
Okay, thank you. And if I could have a follow-up on small appliances, and I know you've touched on it already, but I think you'd mentioned in the past that there's a very, very wide range of profitability inside small appliances. Obviously, a big decline in the organic growth here as you stepped away from some unprofitable lines, but it still suggests that there must be some businesses that are still in there that are deeply loss-making. I don't know if you can give us some more detail as to sort of what scope of small appliances you'd see as structurally unattractive versus how much you think you could fix, perhaps.
Yeah. So overall, our small domestic appliances, meaning the small many of the let's say the small kitchen appliances are relatively unprofitable. It's a big range also inside of that, but there we are making some portfolio changes, and then we have some lines in floor care in North America that are very unprofitable that we are also addressing. Those are the big big negative drivers that we're addressing aggressively. Outside of that, we have the opportunity to have a very healthy and profitable core business.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Could we move on to our next question, please?
Our next question comes from Anders Trapp from SEB. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hi there. I have one question. I had a bit of a bad connection online here, so I apologize if this question has been asked already. But I'm really curious about the, call it product pruning or the focus on premium products or profitable products over less profitable products. How far have you come in this development? How broad based is it? Is it mainly Europe still, or is it much more to do?
Yeah, I think that's really the core, as we just discussed about the in the small appliances turnaround. It's a portfolio management and cost efficiencies are the core ingredients of the small appliances turnaround that we're driving. Also in North America, we are in major appliances North America. We will drive a harder portfolio management approach going forward. Asia Pacific, the turnaround, or let's say the improvements that we're driving there, are also to some extent portfolio management, right? Which is that we're pulling back from China and we're investing to grow in Southeast Asia, which is a more profitable market opportunity for us. So portfolio management doesn't just mean product; it also means market segments and customers. So that's an overall approach that we're driving really across the business going forward as well. But a lot more work to do. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Anders. Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Olaf Federholm from ABG. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, it's Olaf from ABG. Just a question on the professional segment. You've had a fantastic margin story there for a number of quarters, but the improvements seem to have stalled somewhat in Q2. Was there anything specific going on there, or are you still targeting to drive a further expansion of profitability there?
Right. So I think we're at, let's say, historical high margin levels with 13% in the second quarter, which is not the strongest quarter for the business. So I'm happy, very happy about the results. However, last year we had some big projects in Middle East and North Africa for professional that were big volume drivers, and those were not reoccurring this year. So the growth numbers were a little bit negatively impacted by the absence of those projects. The core underlying business is continuing to develop well. We are investing more in growing, particularly our chains business, and that is driving a little bit higher SG&A costs in the quarter, and that will continue to drive a little bit higher costs. But we do expect to have a solid payback on that with higher sales to chains going forward. So we do expect to have continued growth and continued margin expansion in professional, but of course at a slower rate given the rapid improvements we already had in the sector.
All right, thank you. And also one small thing on China. You've been shrinking your position there for quite some time. When should we expect this to be done?
By the end of this year.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Olaf. Can we take the next question, please, operator?
Our next question comes from Andre Kukhnin from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Very well.
Yeah, sorry about earlier.
Sure.
Yes, a couple of questions, please. Firstly, on private label, because of the same technical issues, I may have missed it, but could you quantify how substantial that was in the quarter for you, that move?
No, we don't give the exact numbers per brand and channel and so on. But what I could say is that our branded business grew in the quarter, not by much, but it grew, and our private label then shrank, obviously creating that negative. So I'll leave you to estimate how much it is. Sorry about that.
Okay, no worries. Thank you. On North America weather impact, I know it was quite relevant in the past, this time of the year. Could you just walk us through how that impacted the air con year-on-year, and whether there is now that actually, I think there was a kind of, there's a heating up. Is there a chance for a catch up there?
We had a solid development of air care in the first half of the year, both Q1 and Q2. Hard to predict what's gonna happen going forward. It goes up and down, but I think we're happy with our air care season. Absolutely.
Okay. Finally, on cash, it sounds like the message is for us not to get too excited about having generated already kind of 70% of last year.
No, I think you should be very excited about that.
Okay. If there is a catch up in CapEx in the second half, could you give us an idea on what that sort of 2.5 billion is going into?
Yeah, sure. Overall, let's say our budget for 4 billion remains intact, and there's timing differences. The two main areas that we're spending money on are productivity investment, so automation, and of course, new product innovation. That takes up the vast majority, plus some of course, regular maintenance. We have not really changed our plans at all when it comes to our investment plans.
Got it. Thanks very much.
Sure. You're welcome.
Thanks, Andre. Please, operator, could we have our next question?
Our next question comes from Erik Gunnarsson from UBS. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, all of you. I have one question, and that is regarding the higher acquisition of GE. Now it's been some time since the announcement, and I wonder if you have gathered your impressions and what do you expect this will have on the American market for you?
Yeah, we haven't honestly seen any change in behavior that is notable at this stage. In that sense, it's hard to make any different assessment than what we have, which is that we actually don't expect in the very short term, major changes in terms of the market behavior, given that the cost structure and the offer structure that they have is what it is. Of course, we do expect and Haier has stated publicly that they want to use GE as a global premium brand, and that they want to grow. I think we should take them on their word for that they want to drive it as a premium brand that they want to grow. I don't think we have anything, let's say, more original than that to say.
All right. I take it as you haven't taken any measurements for that, this acquisition, basically.
Taking any, sorry, I couldn't.
Sorry. Taking any, you haven't done anything basically to prepare for when this acquisition is to be finalized?
Well, look, I think the U.S. market is very, very competitive, and we're taking a lot of very, very aggressive measures to improve our cost efficiency in North America. You see that in the quarter, right? We are working extremely hard to protect and improve our margins by driving costs aggressively and by protecting and driving mix in the market. We're not doing anything specifically for GE Haier, but we are taking very, very aggressive actions to protect our profitability in North America indeed.
Great. One more question. In terms of acquisitions, would you guide what geographical area you find most interesting?
Absolutely. I mean, we basically indicated two main areas. One is professional, our professional business, and that's really global, but we there, and then emerging markets. There, I think both Asia, Middle East, Africa, and Latin America are interesting for us.
All right. Thank you.
I think there are a couple more questions on the line, so please go ahead.
Our next question comes from Natalie Falkman from Carnegie. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions, Anna-Katarina and Jonas. I have three questions, and actually all of them on North America. You said that private label volumes were down, and I would expect that that's not a one-off for Q2, so we could might be expecting to continue a decline there. Would you expect to substitute this volume fall through your branded products, or is it something that will wait on your sales and volumes going forward, at least this year?
Yeah, I do think that we will continue to see, it's fair to assume, I think, that we will continue to see negative development on our private labels. We are, of course, pushing to offset that through branded products, but, of course, that will still net-net be, let's say, a negative contributor compared to what otherwise would have been the case. But we do plan to offset the decline through branded products, yes.
And then the question on the branded products, it feels like you underperformed somewhat on the core home appliances, and you mentioned that you're not really participating as aggressively in the promotions. Is this also something that we should expect going forward, that you accept lower volumes below the what you said the market is expected to grow 4 to 5% due to kind of more focus on profitability and mix now?
Yeah, let's say on balance, I think our first priority is margin, right? As a group, hit our 6% EBIT margin target. That is the top priority that we've set, and of course that does mean trade-offs. And when we see that promotional activity is not contributing to the bottom line, then we will be more restrictive on that also going forward. But of course, we participate, and we participate aggressively in the promotional holidays in North America. But we are making sure that we do it in a way that's accretive to our profitability.
And thank you so much. And just the last question: North American margin was very strong, and you mentioned that the aircon sales were good. How much of the margin contribution this quarter came from the seasonally stronger category?
Yeah, we don't break out the detailed category profitability, but Q2 and Q1 are, let's say, the air care quarters in North America, and always contributive in the first and second quarter, and this year it's happening as well, a little bit better than last year, but it's still a relatively small portion of our overall sales, of course. So it's not one of the key, absolute key drivers of our profitability, no.
Thank you, Jonas.
Sure.
Thank you, Natalie. Please, should we take next question?
Our next question comes from Johan Eliasson from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi, this is Johan at Kepler Cheuvreux. Thank you for taking my question. I was just wondering a bit about the North American situation. Now it's the second quarter, you talk about some price pressure, and we are obviously seeing what's happening with the raw material cost. Aren't you worried that next year will be another 2011 when profitability totally imploded in the North American business, where you had negative pricing and the raw material costs going up as the Koreans were pushing into the wet segment? Isn't the situation right now that they are sort of pushing into your core segment, the hot products?
Yeah, I mean, look, we have a first answer is no. I'm not concerned that we will have a similar situation in 2011. However, of course, it's a very competitive market. There's nothing new there. I don't see a very significant increase in the, let's say, overall competitiveness in the market. It's more around, as we mentioned, these highly promotional holidays like 4th of July and Black Friday type of events. So that tends to go up and down a little bit over the years, how aggressive players get in those promotional seasons. So I'm not particularly concerned that we will have any kind of repeat of that. Of course, we have to be extremely on top of our productivity, our cost, and that's something that we are driving very, very aggressively. Our focus is very much on the margin and ensuring that we continue to support and improve our margins, our operating margins further in North America and across the group. So if we have to make trade-offs, we will make those trade-offs with a focus on maintaining and improving our operating margins.
And on the hot products, you talked about the volumes not being as high as they had been previously. Are you losing share there? It's mainly due to this private label issue.
Yeah, so we lost a little bit of share last year for actually because of availability, and we also see some declines in hot in our private label business indeed. Yeah, not major, but it is a negative impact.
But I guess you lost the share last year because of availability, but that should be fixed this year. Should you regain market share on the back of that then?
Yeah, but that's a battle sort of store by store. So that's an effort that we're working on.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure. You're welcome.
Thank you, Johan. We have room for two more questions before we will summarize. First, please.
2 minutes.
Our next question comes from Martin Wilkie from Citi. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, it's Martin again from Citi. Just a follow-up. You had a question earlier about professional, and you mentioned the North American business. If we think of your professional business, there's obviously laundry and the cookware. My understanding is that on the cooking side, it's relatively high-end compared to some of your peers. But when we think of the North American market, obviously fast food, things like that are enormous areas. When you're thinking about the North American market for expansion, is it essentially still in the same areas that you are just now, or would you broaden your definition of what you could supply into professional markets? Just to get some sort of sense as to why you're selecting North America as perhaps an area for expansion. Thanks.
Yeah. So first of all, North America is the largest professional kitchen equipment market in the world. So it's interesting from that perspective. The other thing that is an issue for us specifically is that, of course, a lot of the global chains are headquartered in North America, and we are relatively weak in the North American market, which means that we have a lower chance than we otherwise would have of being a key supplier to some of these chains. So that is one of our key strategic priorities, to make sure that we build the presence in North America so that we can become a true global supplier. So I think we see a lot of opportunities there.
But would you say that's essentially still, if I think of your product range, it's essentially going to those key accounts in North America with your existing offering? Because obviously, you know, if you think of fast food and things like that, the market definition could be a lot bigger.
Yeah, no, but we do include the chains,
okay.
quick serve chains in that, in our market definition, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
And we do serve those segments today, and we have good products for it. What we don't have is the proper market coverage in North America.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Martin. Please, could we have the next question?
Our next question comes from Andre Kukhnin from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hello. Thanks very much for taking the follow-up. So can I just ask on North America, branded versus private label, you said branded grew. Would it be fair to say that it grew in line with the market overall?
Slightly less.
Okay, very clear. Thank you. And just on North America pricing, can I just venture a little bit into if I suggested that, in effect, the pricing itself, say, year-to-date, has not been too different to what you've been seeing, but there are some signs and you want to consciously put a message out there to the whole industry that you will not be aggressive in promotion seasons and you are very margin conscious. Would that be going in the right direction with that?
No, I mean, we're not signaling to the industry at all. We're just stating what's happening in the market in the second quarter and how we intend to set our priorities going forward, meaning that we focus on profitability.
Okay, that's very clear. So it wouldn't be fair to say that you have some concerns in terms of what may be coming up in the end of the year promotional period versus given what you've seen on 4th of July?
No.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a final question now, I see, coming up. So please let us take that before we hand back to Jonas.
Our last question comes from Christian Maunegood from DND. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. I continue on the North American track. A lot of questions on that today. But we can start with the cost efficiency that you showed, of which 250 million was raw materials. I guess that Memphis is included in that number. And if so, can you roughly give an idea of how much that benefited you year over year?
No, we don't break out individual, let's say, factories or anything like that, right? But for sure, we are seeing continued year-over-year benefits, the more in the first quarter than in the second quarter, and it will be less in the third quarter, just as the year-over-year kind of effects abate. It's a factor. It's not one of the absolute top factors, but it's a positive.
And when you continue with this continuous improvement program and the efficiency works you have in the factories, what is the run rate on the net cost efficiency rate we should expect going forward, excluding Memphis and excluding raw materials, et cetera?
Yeah, so excluding Memphis and raw materials, we expect to continue more or less at the pace that we've been over the last few years. But the source of the improvements are shifting a little bit. From, let's say, and this is now a global comment, from manufacturing relocation to, let's say, in-footprint restructuring and continuous improvement initiatives.
Finally,
is expected to stay more or less where it is.
Okay. And finally, just on the Electrolux brand in North America, how does that fit into your portfolio thinking going forward? And have you changed your strategy now after the failed GE deal?
It's an important brand for us. It's a kind of a very premium position that we have in North America. So the bulk of our branded business is the Frigidaire brand family, and our focus going forward will very much be on the Frigidaire family of brands, where we see a lot of opportunities to invest and further, let's say, define and refine our approach to the market with Frigidaire. Electrolux will be important, but it's a relatively small part of our total offering in North America.
Great. Thank you very much.
Sure. You're welcome.
Thank you, Christer. And with that, let us hand back to Jonas for a quick summary of the second quarter before we go on summer holidays.
Sure. Thanks, everybody, for very good questions. And thanks, Katarina. So let us summarize some of the important highlights from the second quarter. First of all, the group showed good overall performance driven by EMEA and North America, also professional. Four of our six business areas achieved an EBIT margin above 6%. We benefited from higher volumes and price mix improvements thanks to our focus on active product portfolio management as well as continued favorable impact from cost efficiencies and raw materials. Our European operations showed strong performance with higher earnings and margins and a sustainably lower cost structure. Profitability in North America was good, driven by improved mix and cost efficiency in raw materials. The team in Latin America continued to focus on cost execution and to increase prices despite challenging market conditions in the region. And actions in small appliances are being taken and are on track, even though a full turnaround of the business will take some time. And finally, cash flow generation in Q2 was strong and at historically high levels. With that, thank you very much, and I wish you a great summer. Talk to you soon.